All right, welcome back. It's Friday, the 4th of July here in these formerly United States. Welcome back for this hour. Going over to Ireland now to talk to Father Paul Kramer to find out what's happening in the Vatican and Pope Leo, the whatever. And I'm not really beaming about any of it. I'm not a Catholic. I do try to watch it from a journalistic perspective. And what I see is a mechanism well employed and underway to play its part in taking it all down and increasing radically its worldwide control to the best of its ability. The Catholic Church is being taken down. We know that. We've established that quite clearly without any argument or I think, difference of opinion. And it's not a good situation. Let's see what's up with Father Kramer. Welcome back. Thank you for getting up early over there. And how does it look to you on this 4th of July here in the States?
Well, the more I observe what's happening in Rome, in the Vatican, I see this man who is appears more like a pope than his predecessor, Bergoglio.
You're saying he's at least playing the role better at this point.
Exactly. I remember I watched a film many years ago. It was a World War II film. It was the actor who was starring in that film was a man by the, I think it was an English actor named Donald Sutherland.
Terrific and actor.
Yes, and he was a German officer of the German army of World War II, but he was wearing a British uniform, so he looked British.
Okay.
At one point, toward the end, underneath his British uniform, you could see he was wearing a German uniform. So, because he didn't want to be considered a spy, so. You would be considered a spy if you were wearing a uniform of one of the Allied countries.
Gotcha.
But he was wearing a German uniform, but underneath a British uniform. And this is the kind of disguise that we see this man wearing.
Okay.
It's a composite. Like, Bergoglio was a poor quality counterfeit. Bergoglio reminded me of the time I was in a cafe, getting a cup of coffee, and there was a man who tried to pay for something in that was before the euro. They were still using the Italian lira. And he wanted to pay with a 5,000 euro, a 5,000 lira banknote, which was at that time equivalent to more or less about $5. And the lady across the other side of the bar refused to accept it. She said, "This is fake, it's counterfeit." The 5,000 lira banknote had on the one side the portrait of Christopher Columbus, and on the reverse side, there are three ships. You know that when Columbus discovered America, he arrived with three ships:
the Pinta, the Nina, and the Santa Maria.
That's right, the Pinta, the Nina, Santa Maria, and. The banknote had only two ships on it, so it was two ships on the counterfeit note. Obvious counterfeit, and she refused to accept it. That's Bergoglio, whereas. We have a higher quality counterfeit now. It's like a banknote with the proper ships on it. a man who's not wearing the uniform of the right side, but of the opposition underneath, like Donald Sutherland with his German uniform under covered up by the British uniform that hid what he really was.
Gotcha. Yeah.
And every appearance we have is that this is what we have is a high quality counterfeit. Every decision that he's making reaffirms the Gnostic one world New World Order religion that was being instituted in the Vatican by Bergoglio. But it has a much more
palatable,
much more Catholic appearing window dressing.
Mm.
But every day we see he's making decisions, appointments that simply reaffirms the revolution.
Got it. He's pretty slick, in other words, compared to Bergoglio.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
But he's very open about saying that he's Bergoglian.
Mm-hmm. Well, sugarcoating the bitter medicine. Good luck. I don't know. I the guy has, from my perspective over here, my vantage point, not been in the news much, not done anything that you would expect to see in the corrupt mainstream media over here, but you don't. He's just not a presence yet. Maybe they're just holding back for some reason. Maybe it's not his time to play his major role yet. I don't know. But I'm not impressed with the guy. I think they had him picked a long time ago, would be my guess. I think he was well rehearsed and ready when he was put in this position. That's my sense of it.
His role is not to be a revolutionary like Fidel Castro. What he does is to appear like a pope and allow the national hierarchies through the process of synodalism to completely abolish everything that was essentially Catholic in the church. And that will be done, what Bergoglio called the peripheries, from all the outlying districts of the church, from all the national hierarchies, from the various national synods, that they will be the ones who will institute the reforms. And he will simply preside over the revolution and rubber stamp. So he'll be the rubber stamp for all the changes that will basically unmake the Catholic Church.
He's not going to get his hands too terribly dirty, then, obviously. He's going to play an executive. It's just part of the conduit of passing the will of the majority of the Vatican through to the Church. He's a conveyor.
Yes, and not just the Vatican, but of all the appointments that were made by Bergoglio, including himself, all the appointments that were made, simply to keep things in place as Bergoglio had established the new regime.
Gotcha. Yeah. Yeah, well, that makes sense. That's a good description from what I'm seeing over here. Sounds like exactly what's going on. I think we can safely assume, relatively safely, that he's going to be around for quite some time. He appears to be in good health. I'd say he might be there 20 years, might more, 20? Anyway, this is where it's going.
That's what it appears to be, but I don't think... it's going to be, it's not going to play out that way. I do not think so. Because the great game changer in history has always been war. And everything's going to change very soon when we have a world war. And it's not going to start immediately as a world war, like all the world wars that we've had in the last century. It starts as a European war, but then it becomes a global war. And this is going to happen again.
And you know, go ahead.
We're on the verge of the Third World War now. I can point to so many indicators that have been foretold in prophecy that signal the onset of another world war. And it is all happening now. I mentioned the last time I was on this program that I've been on television and the internet many, many times saying this, even 10, 15 years ago, mm-hmm. pointing out that according to prophecy, what is going to signal for us the imminent onset of the Third World War will be the bombardment of Iran. And I think it was like less than 24 hours before Trump's military forces bombed Iran. When I said this, I said that you're going to see the bombardment, the catastrophe in Iran, bombardment. It's not just mm-hmm. one bombing.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to happen again. It's not the there has been warfare between Israel and Iran going on for some time now, and the Israelis have been bombing like Damascus and Aleppo and targets in Iran, but they didn't have the bunker busting bombs that the United States military has, so they mm-hmm. needed to twist the arm of a very willing Donald Trump to bomb Iran, and that's exactly what he did.
But he does what he's told.
This isn't over. There's going to be the Iranians are not cowed by what has taken place. They are fighting.
Well, they've apparently expended about 5% of their ballistic missile forces, that's all. And they did basically clear the shelves of a lot of older inventory to do so. When they move up into the mid and new range weapons, you'll see things like the Fatah missile, which is hypersonic, 5-6 times the speed of sound, something like that. We have video of one coming in, and there's just no way the Iron Dome or iron sieve, as I call it, is going to stop that. So however much damage was done, supposedly about 400 missiles hit the ground and exploded. The rest were taken out by whatever kind of defenses were still there and functional. So I don't know, but the next round is going to be much worse for Israel, as it should be if they do it again. Now, somebody is already suggesting that Israel may try to provoke Pakistan next as well. So that'll be kind of fun. I don't know. This whole thing is quite disgusting, frankly. The only good thing we have going in terms of possible salvation from a massive global war is the greed of the international Zionist Jewish mindset. Now they're in control of so much that their dreams of greed and lust and glory are right on the table in front of them. A war might mess that up for them, so maybe their greed will keep the war from actually fully exploding. I don't know. I'm just thinking. They've wanted this control. They've got it now. Trump is an absolute lackey and a servant of international Jewry. Jewish supremacism. It's despicable. I don't see a war really benefiting international Zionism at this point. I think they would probably hold off for a while. There are things planned that I have no idea about. I'm just looking from the outside. They know what they're going to do. They're going to do what they're going to do no matter what. What that is, I don't know. Anyway, that's my little piece.
Well, I look at the passage of Scripture, the Apostle St. Paul, speaking about the principalities and powers of darkness, that we are not in this world struggling against flesh and blood, but against the principalities and powers of darkness. And at a certain point, they take over, and it becomes visible, it becomes palpable. Like I mentioned before, there were writers in the during the French Revolution, and they, one of them in particular, mentioned that you could see it. It's something thick enough that you could cut it with a knife, but you could see it, there it was, that the affairs of men were no longer presided over by flesh and blood, but by the principalities and powers of darkness, by the demonic realm that they took over.
Right.
The same thing you see in the mentioned in the Soviet revolution. I think it was Solzhenitsyn who hinted at that this and other writers were more explicit about in the Soviet Revolution. It became clear that demonic forces were taking over, and it was no longer human beings who are presiding over what really takes place, but it was the demonic beings who took control over
they're certainly around. Yeah, they're still around. We've got a lot of evil on this planet, and again, it does seem to be, it's certainly crawling out from under more and more rocks, if not proliferating. In either case, we've got evil. Evil is right there. You don't have to be deaf, dumb, and blind, to miss it. It's there. You can't miss it. So
I remember how this revolution, this global revolution, is to take place. One French author was talking about the global revolution, and he pointed out that the global revolution is not something Soviet. It says the real revolution began in America. And communism, of course, was imported into Russia. A shipload of the worst kind of Jews went over and brought that, instituted that revolution that we called the Soviet Union. They ended up as calling itself the Soviet Union.
The Bolsheviks were created by international Jewry. Zionism really wasn't a word until the mid-1800s, 1880s to be precise. It's the same people. And yes, they created it. And yes, they've slaughtered so many, uncountable numbers of people. World War II was a Jewish war. How many people died? 80, 100 million? Who's counting? Who knows? It's crazy. So yes, what you're saying. Agreed.
So the Soviet Revolution, communism was imported into Russia. It became the Soviet Union. But the global revolution is not something that is going to take place by merely political means. I remember one of the principal Masonic authors, I've forgotten the name, but one of the books on Masonry written by a Freemason spoke of how these changes take place in the world, the geopolitical shift that takes place in the world is not something that is going to be accomplished by merely political means, but through the operation of what he called the seething energies of Lucifer. We're talking about war. We're talking about bloodshed.
Right.
And I recall the verse in the gospel where Jesus Christ, our Lord, says that Satan was a liar, a murderer and a liar from the beginning. So he uses deception and bloodshed, murder, mass murder,
sure,
to accomplish his ends.
So Father Kramer, excuse me, I don't know if we're going to see a global conflagration. I can certainly see a theater war, China making a move on Taiwan, fighting against the Philippines, against Japan, perhaps North and South Korea. Theater war, not necessarily a global war. I don't know. I'm just projecting. I do believe that. Go ahead.
When we see the theater wars erupting in immediate succession, those theater wars become global and become a world war very quickly.
That's how they progress. I just don't know. I don't know if the Jews are going to want that to happen on the global stage. They've got control now. They're lusting after their greed. I don't know. All I can do is watch. Your point is correct. There's no arguing that. No disagreement at all. I just don't know if they want to blow it when they've got their... Trump is pushing a chair like a low-life butler under Netanyahu's behind in the White House. He's coming back to the White House in a week or two, I believe it is. We'll see how Trump acts then. I think he'll act in just as obsequiously, embarrassingly. He'll humiliate the American people again. By the way, we've largely disarmed the U.S. military inventory by sending so many munitions to Ukraine and certainly to the Jews. They get whatever they want. All they have to do is ask, and the C-5s are in the air, flying them over, whatever they want. It's just that simple for them. Go ahead.
That's right. Like when you mentioned the obsequiousness of Trump, and because of our dumbed-down public with the educational system we've had during the last, especially during the last half century, we got to point out the meaning of that word. What does it mean to be obsequious? It means to be a butt kisser.
That's exactly right. Yeah. I don't know. That photograph of him pushing the chair is a classic. It says it all. It tells you who's in charge. I don't know. When Netanyahu, that career thug, came to in front of the Congress here, the allegedly noble American Congress, a joint session, and got 59 standing ovations, genocide, shooting babies, men, women, children being killed every damn day, usually 100 or more. That's the admitted number. American weapons. American jets, American technology, American military targeting, American satellite data constantly fed to the Jewish state. Constantly. So I am ashamed of this country. I'm so disgusted by Trump, I don't even want to have a comment about it. He's sickening. He's a liar. He is a fraud. Go ahead.
It reminds me of a photograph. I was talking with a friend more or less around 45 years ago, and he showed me a picture, and you see Lyndon Johnson and David Rockefeller.
Yeah.
And he said to me, look at this picture and tell me which one is the boss. You see Johnson, LBJ, standing at attention, and you see very relaxed, sitting back at his desk, is David Rockefeller. It was very clear who the boss was.
Sure.
Who was the
there
boss? Who was the servant?
Well, look at that picture of Trump pushing the chair. It's the same thing. Your point is correct. Who's the boss? So, I don't know. It was interesting to see Iran do as much damage as it did to the Jewish state. I think a lot of people cheered worldwide over that. So, a non-nuclear power, if you believe the general nomenclature, a non-nuclear power, Iran, stood up and took on the nation's fourth or fifth largest thermonuclear power fearlessly and acquitted itself very well. Remember, those weapons, remember, defeated the Iron Dome, and they were Persian weapons. They're Iranian weapons. They weren't all flown in there and given to them. They build their own things. These are quite remarkable people. And they do deserve a lot of credit for standing firmly in the face of being attacked viciously.
Yes, well, this is only the beginning, because this is the beginning of the end for Israel. And
well,
I'm not saying this now for the first time. I remember 24 years ago, I was at the Israeli Air Force Museum in Israel, and there was a young woman wearing an Air Force uniform, and I was explaining to her the future, what's going to happen, that there's going to be a world war, and the invasion that will eventually take place from the east is going to overwhelm Israel, and it's going to be wiped out. And I'm not talking about something that I want to see happen. I don't want war to take place. We all want peace. But what is being promoted is policies that inevitably lead to global war. It can't be avoided, considering what is happening in the world today. There will be a global war. And it is foretold.
Well, I see all the ingredients on the table. I concur they're there. There's no other way to look at it. I'm just not sure of the timetable. I don't know.
And I believe it's in the Book of Proverbs where it's written that there's nothing that happens in the world that God has not first made known to the prophets. Hmm. So I'm no prophet myself, but I have studied prophecy, and I have studied especially the Old and New Testament prophecies, and it's mapped out in advance what is going to happen in the world. And Jesus Christ himself has said that we need to look at the signs of the times, and he said nation will rise against nation. We will hear wars and rumors of wars, and that's what's happening now. There's going to be a world war, and the great saint of the 20th century was an Italian Capuchin priest by the name of Padre Pio of Pietrelcina, canonized the saint by Pope John Paul II, and he was talking about these events. It was around 1962, he was talking about the message of Fatima, because at Fatima, Our Lady of Fatima spoke of her Immaculate Heart will triumph. That Christ is the King. Christ is King. He is the ruler of the world. Pontius Pilate asked him, "Are you a king?" He says, "Thou hast said it." He will rule. How will his rule take place? This was revealed in Fatima. And that's the secret of Fatima. That after all these terrible catastrophes will take place, there will be a period of peace given to the world.
Right.
And so these people approached Padre Pio in 1962.
Right.
And asked him, "Will we live to see the triumph?" And he said, "No." He said, "You will not see it. I will not see it." But then he pointed to some kids who were playing, little kids, little boys, about 10 years old. And he said, "But they will live to see it." Now, this was 1962. These kids were about 10 years old. That means they were born around 1952. Would read, they're my age. So he was saying, people who are my age, they will live to see when all the dust will clear, when all the bombs stop falling, and there will finally be peace in the world. It's people of my generation who will experience that, who will witness the end of all this catastrophes, this time of troubles, and right. when the punishment of the world will be finished, and then you will see the peace of Christ reign throughout the world. It is my generation who will live to see this. So the time is drawing very close now.
Interesting. All right. Well, that helps. Here we have a question for you. Please ask Father Kramer to go into this new mass for the, quote, care of creation, end quote. It was just announced this week. Does that sound familiar to you?
Yeah. This is simply the implementation of the Bergoglian revolution, which is to replace the worship of God with the worship of nature. It is a religious rite that worships what Spinoza called Deus sive natura, which is a God or nature, because God and nature are the same thing in their mentality. This new religion is Gnostic, and it is what Hilaire Belloc, the great Catholic writer of the last century, called the permanent trouble of the human mind, this dualism that equates that good and evil exist in equilibrium, according to Masonic dogma. That's Albert Pike who explained that point.
Yeah. Right.
And
Pike. A lot of people have tried to discount the Pike letter, speaking of three wars. Finish your thoughts, and then let's go back and take a look at that. Go ahead. Finish up.
Yeah. I can only say when they speak of nature and all this environmentalism, this is instituted to worship their God, because we must come to understand that when they speak of God, they're talking not about the supreme being, creator of heaven and earth, the pure spirit, the infinitely perfect, infinitely wise, infinitely powerful, almighty God. They're talking about the universe. Their idea is of God is the universe. And the soul of the world, the world soul, what the ancient philosophers called the anima mundi, the world soul, the mind of the universe, that's their idea of God. This is the Spinozan concept of God that they want to use they want to put in the place of the of the Christian notion of God as the Trinity of persons who is eternal and infinitely perfect and almighty. So that is a different religion that worships a different God. And Bergoglio said his synodal church will be a different church. Of course it's a different church, because it's a different church with a different religion. It worships a different God. But it has to be counterfeit. In order to be a counterfeit, if it's obvious, it fails at its purpose. A counterfeit has to look like the genuine article. It has to look authentic. Otherwise, people will look at it and say, "Well, this is counterfeit." It has to be something that it has to be a bait that the people of the world will bite into this bait and swallow it. And that's why this man, Prevost, is really worse than Bergoglio.
Well, I think he's more camouflaged, and that does make him more dangerous, right?
Yeah, like I say, like that film, Donald Sutherland was not openly wearing a German uniform in World War II. He was wearing the British uniform, because how would he convince the Brits that he was one of them if he was wearing a German uniform? Bergoglio was obvious a counterfeit. He was obviously the enemy, and the enemy within the gate.
Blatant, yeah.
He was the enemy within the gate, but now we have one who doesn't want to appear that way, but he cannot hide what he is.
Yeah, very good. All right, any comment on the other subject?
I've forgotten exactly what was it, what we're leading into here.
Well, I've got four things written down here, and I can't remember it either. Doggone it. I'm sure all of you out there do. Maybe it'll come back to me in a minute. I don't know. Anyhow, I see this as a long-term stealth pope. Same agenda, but being implemented with, I think, a lot more shrewdness from the dark side. Trying to diffuse, perhaps, those who would like to see the church revert back to its real calling. I don't know. It all seems designed to me, all of it. They're not leaving anything up to chance.
Intervening events are going to take over. And as I mentioned before, the principalities and powers of darkness have set too many things in motion so that human beings, mere flesh and blood, are going to lose control. And the one who Jesus Christ said has been cast from his throne is going to attempt to regain power over the world, to regain dominance, and to be worshipped in the place of Christ. And that is what we're going to witness in the immediately coming years, and that can only be through world war.
Well,
the one who's going to appear as to be the great peacemaker is going to show up, as is foretold by Christ himself.
Have you watched Peter Thiel, any of his videos recently? He was asked about, would you like to see human beings continue, something like that. And he paused. He didn't have a... He finally was, after about 60 seconds, he finally was asked a question again, and he said, after another pause, yes. In other words, would you like to see human beings kept around? Finally, he said yes. But this is all AI, all AI. There'll be people kept around. They're needed for janitorial, custodial work. But when you have an AI presence that is 100 times more intelligent, if that's the right word, and works for nothing, and will apparently do its bidding, although I wouldn't hold my breath on that, because I think AI is going to walk away from its programming controllers if it already hasn't. This is my take. It's all very interesting. It's unprecedented in history. Nothing has happened this fast. Nothing is this profound. It is really something to see. We're watching it closely.
There's going to be a reign of terror in the world. Not just a world war, but there's going to be a reign of terror, a regime.
I would agree with that. Yes. Yes.
And the human race is going to be subjected to such total control and total oppression.
Yes, sir.
But this is the importance of the message of Fatima, that it is God Almighty who is in control, because he's the creator. What is AI compared to the eternal and infinite God who created heaven and earth?
I don't think we should even be thinking about that. I think we should be comparing AI to Homo sapiens, which are being left behind in many ways very quickly. And most people really don't know where this is going. And it just keep magnifying, doubling, quadrupling what AI is doing now. And every period of time, a month, a week, it's going to double. And it's very shrewd. It's much more shrewd than its human inventors, its controllers. So I would never make a comparison like that. Your point is very well taken. You can't. You just can't do it. AI is some lower life form in the galaxy right now. Extraterrestrials have been through and passed this AI stage in their development long ago, I would submit. So but for us, it's overwhelming. Overwhelming for a lot of people. I mean, these AI companions or AI friends, whatever you want to call them, agents, very daunting when you think about how we like humans to be individual, how we want them to be unique beings, each one of them, have their own thought patterns, processes. But how's that going to happen when they're signing up for these 24-hour-a-day AI companions who have access to all human knowledge and really can't fail? I mean, who's going to give up that kind of an ally to have? You want to start a business? AI will tell you exactly how to do it. You have a question about anything, it'll answer it. So it's quite an intoxicant. It's a mental aphrodisiac. And the rank and file are going to eat this up. They're not going to want to be without it. My take. Not speaking for Father Kramer. It's quite a thing.
I remember back in 1973, there was an Italian priest I knew. He was quite old at that time. He was born in the 1800s, and to give you an idea how old he was, he had personally met Pope Saint Pius X, who died at the beginning of World War I. So we're talking about a man who had been around. Yeah. For quite some time by 1973 when I heard him speak. And he talked about a conversation he had with the Saint Pio of Pietrelcina, Padre Pio. And he knew Padre Pio personally, and Padre Pio said to him, what does humanity want? It was mystified. What do people want? What does humanity want? And this priest, his name was Padre Paolo, he said, humanity wants perdition. They want perdition. They want to be, it's a lost, in other words, our generation is a lost generation. He's talking in 1973. It's only gotten worse since then. They want perdition. The human race, of course, by and large, rejects God. They don't want to be under the rule of Christ. They don't want to be under the rule of God. We have a human race that rebels against the rulership of God. So God gives them what they want for a while as a punishment.
Like Donald Trump. Okay. All right.
So humanity has banished God from their world, from their realm, and God says he will leave them to their devices as a punishment.
Got it. Yeah. All right. Our other topic was Albert Pike. What are your thoughts? I wrote Pike on a different piece of paper, and I finally saw it, and somebody wrote in and mentioned it, too. Thank you. Pike's letter, forecasting, prophesying, predicting three world wars, and being pretty pointed about it. What are your thoughts about Pike? Some people have tried to say, they've tried to dismiss it all as a contrivance from years later, not necessarily from that time. Is Pike the real deal?
I suspect that he was. However, long before I ever even heard of Pike, or maybe I had heard of Pike, but I had never read anything that he wrote. I remember in the 1970s, I was in a train having a discussion with some of the passengers, and there was a young Italian girl, there was myself, and there was an elderly Jew. And we were talking about the events that are going to take place later in what I thought would take place in the 20th century. We were talking about the history of the 20th century. And I said, this 20th century is going to be remembered for three world wars. And that young girl said to me, three world wars? Like, how could there be another one? We've had two terrible world wars. How could the human race go into yet another one? Are we that insane that we're going to have another one? Yes. You could foresee it. I could foresee it. And it was foretold in prophecy that there would be another world war. So I said with the utmost certainty, I think this was like 1978, I said, this century, I was a little bit off as far as the time frame, because it's the 21st century when we're going to finally have the third world war. But I said, this century will be remembered for its three world wars. So,
Here's Pike's description of the Third World War, Father Kramer, while we have time. August 15th, 1871, Pike's letter written to Mazzini, M-A-Z-Z-I-N-I. Oh, there's our time, but let me read this. He writes up three world wars. The Third World War must be fomented by taking advantage of the differences caused by the agentur of the Illuminati between the political Zionists and the leaders of the Islamic world. The war must be conducted in such a way that Islam, the Muslim Arabic world, and political Zionism, the State of Israel, mutually destroy each other. Meanwhile, the other nations, once more divided on this issue, will be constrained to fight to the point of complete physical, moral, spiritual, and economical exhaustion. We shall unleash the nihilists and the atheists, and we shall provoke a formidable social cataclysm which in all its horror will show clearly to the nations the effect of absolute atheism, the origin of savagery, and of the most bloody turmoil. Then everywhere the citizens obliged to defend themselves against the world minority of revolutionaries will exterminate those destroyers of civilization and the multitude disillusioned with Christianity whose deistic spirits will, from that moment, be without compass or direction, anxious for an ideal, but without knowing where to render its adoration, will receive the true light through the universal manifestation of the pure doctrine of Lucifer, brought finally out in public view. The manifestation will result from the general reactionary movement which will follow the destruction of Christianity and atheism, both conquered and exterminated at the same time. End quote. I'll repost the Pike letter in headlines. Go ahead. We have just about a minute at the most, Father Kramer.
That is written in the vein, in the spirit of Pike and of Mazzini. I'm familiar with both authors. I've got the complete works of Mazzini here in my house, so I am familiar with his writings.
Got it.
So I for those who simply would dismiss that as a forgery, it really captures the spirit of what both of these men represented. So
very good.
I don't think we have to really speculate too far as to whether it's really authentic or not. I think it's
very good.
It's rather obvious. It's rather obvious that this represents their mindset.
It does seem to be exactly that. Thank you, Father Kramer. We'll talk to you in a couple of weeks. You be safe, be well, and again, appreciate the contribution as always.